Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's about time to roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one tomorrow morning. But you should swing over there anyways. Just, hey, you know, you just never know what's going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. For some reason, Mr. Fantasy never does, but Dan and I do, so do that for us. So, and then you can't forget, of course, there's the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you know, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. And Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, I'm looking here and seeing that our guy, Big Time Timmy Jams, or I guess nobody calls him that anymore, but Tim Lincecum looks like he has a job as long as he passes a physical. The Rangers are going to be the team that signs Lincecum. And it says here they plan to utilize him out of the bullpen, which is the role I kind of really wanted to see him in. I think you did too. I'm not sure. But what you like this signing? You know, Texas has done a lot of these ads this offseason with these veteran, you know, pitchers. You like adding Timmy to the mix there?
I think it's smart, and you've got to imagine he's got to get a handful of starts if he does pass the physical.
Yeah, you know, I think depending on, you know, how he looks, you got to figure there is a possibility, you know, he could end up in that rotation at some point in time. I want to pull it up here because I know the Rangers were one of the teams that said they were going to go with the six-man rotation. And right now it looks like they have it. Cole Hamels is scheduled to be their number one. Then they have Matt Moore, Mike Minor, Doug Fister. Matt Bush looks like he's going to get a chance to start this year. And right now, number six is Bartolo Colon. So that's where they are there. But, yeah, you know, they've made some, you know, like I said, some ads. You know, Moore was a trade, but Minor, Fister, and Colon were free agent signings. They also picked up Jesse Chavez, who's a bit of a swing man. Chris Martin is another veteran guy they kind of brought in for the bullpen, and now Lincecum. So, yeah, a lot of ads there for the Rangers. I know they have Martin Perez, who made, I think it was 29 starts. I almost said 30. You know, it looks like he's going to start the year on the DL. He fractured his non-throwing elbow. So it shouldn't affect him as a pitcher once he gets back. It's just getting him back. And, you know, they did, you know, they also added John Neese, who I don't know if he'll make the team. It'll be interesting. And then they have Edith Volquez, but of course he won't pitch this year. He's just going to spend the year recovering from Tommy John, and he'll be there next year. So, yeah, I don't know. It looks like they made some solid signings. I guess it just depends if they pay off, right?
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, just kind of looking, you know, they looks like their best pitching prospect is scheduled to start at high class A. So you figure he's quite a few years away. They do have a couple other guys. But maybe we'll see a Johan or Mendez or Ronald Herrera or Clayton Blackburn. They're some of the top prospects in the Rangers organization as pitchers. But yeah, I'm glad he's getting a shot. You know, I think it's cool that it they took a look at him, and you know, I hope it works out. You know, I know he pitched really well to start with the Angels last year, and then, boy, it was almost like he just hit a wall. And, you know, that was it. I know he ended up with, you know, just horrible numbers, 2-6 with a 9.16 ERA and 9 starts. So, you know, obviously he's gonna have to translate better than that. But, you know, he was throwing in the 90s, and you got to figure if he's healthy, you know, I think he could be a valuable asset for them. Again, I don't know if it gets them to the point where they're going to catch the Astros or anything with just this signing. But, you know, we like Lincecum, and it's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Well, you know, we'll see. And then we had another first baseman has a job here. Mike Napoli came to terms. Looks like he's going back to Cleveland on a 1-year, $1.75 million deal that can jump to $3.25 some incentives. I don't know how much playing time he'll see in Cleveland. You know, they have Edwin Encarnacion, who's the main DH. They signed Yonder Alonso. Unless Napoli's going to play if Alonso sits against lefties. But he did hit 29 homers for Texas last year, but Dan, he only hit .193. How much you see him filling in here? You getting, you know, like he appeared in 124 games for the Rangers last year. Does he get to 100 with the Indians?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's a bad ad. I mean, you know, he's a veteran guy. He should know how to, you know, play coming off the bench. So I don't think it's terrible. And obviously, he's got a, you know, fantastic deal. I mean, $1.75 million is, you know, really nothing as it goes for, you know, baseball these days. So not bad. I mean, these guys are – you know, Logan Morrison signed, Napoli signed. I think there's still a couple more first baseman with a little name value. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Your guy Luke is still out there. I forgot about him. But yeah, it's Lucas Duda, Adam Lind, Mark Reynolds, and Danny Valencia. See these guys picking up work now as we go in here, as we're getting closer and closer.
Well, I think so. I mean, they're a few and far left, so.
Well, you know, maybe you can answer me this one because I'm kind of trying to figure this one out. Why haven't the Royals kind of taken a shot with one of these guys? You know, especially they're probably going to get a deal somewhere close to Napoli. You can probably get one of these guys for 1 year at $2 million. You know, doesn't a Duda or a Mark Reynolds hit 25-plus bombs as the Royals' everyday first baseman?
Yeah, you've got to wonder what the hell they're waiting for.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of – it's just kind of weird, you know, when I see it, I'm kind of like, you know, what – because I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and I know I'm gonna have to look this up. I was actually on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, but I'm gonna have to go back here. Dan, can you tell me off the top of your head who the Royals' projected starter at first base is right now?
No,
I can't figure it out either. So I'm gonna pull it up here on roster resource and see what we're going with here. Oh, well, this is probably why. They have Hunter Dozier. Yeah, he's almost 27. It looks like he was a first-round draft pick in 2013. So maybe that's why they're not signing anybody. They're gonna wanna see if their young guy can do it.
Well, then they have a lot of retained salary. You got to figure out what the luxury threshold is.
But yeah, you know, and I mean, you would think, you know, maybe they would want a, you know, just to kind of add a veteran guy in case, you know, there's some kind of, you know, some kind of issue there somewhere. But, you know, well, we'll see. Maybe they'll still add one of these guys. I mean, Dozier is a righty, so maybe a guy like Duda fits in. You know, I mean, he could DH if you're not, you know, if you don't have him plugged in as, you know, your starter. And, you know, obviously the kid, you know, the kid's going to need a day off here or there. So, you know, it I don't think that would be a terrible signing for them. Again, you could probably get him on the cheap now. I don't know why it would be that big of a deal. But luckily, Dan, I saw today the reports on Felix Hernandez is he is just day-to-day. So that is that's good news for me and the Mariners, probably more the Mariners than me. So we are okay there. You know, nothing serious. But I do wonder what you think. You know, the Major League Baseball Players Union filed a grievance today. And they accused the Oakland A's, Miami Marlins, Pittsburgh Pirates, and Tampa Bay Rays of pocketing revenue-sharing funds rather than using them to improve their team as mandated in the sports labor agreement, or as you and I call it, the CBA. Is this going anywhere? What do you think of this as the degree holder on this podcast?
I mean, I think it will, but what's the point of having that, you know, them getting the revenue if they don't use it?
Well, you know, obviously that's, you know, they make money. You know, to be fair, I know, you know, the Rays have actually made some signings, not the bigger free agent signings that, you know, obviously a lot of the teams have, but they've made, you know, like I know they brought in, you know, they brought in Carlos Gomez, and I believe they brought in another outfielder. So I'm not quite sure if they fully belong in kind of this category. You know, while they didn't throw around hundreds of millions of dollars, they did, you know, make a little attempt. But, you know, like I don't think the Pirates, the A's, and obviously we know the Marlins, you know, have all spent very little, if any, money this offseason. I know, like, the Pirates president is a gentleman by the name of Frank. I'm going to guess this is Coonley. He said the charges are patently baseless, if you kind of want to take it at his face value. You know, the MLB Players Union president is Tony Clark. He actually used the NBA term of tanking when describing these teams. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of humorous, you know, that it's kind of working out into those, you know, those things. So, but yeah, apparently as I cruise through the article here, Dan, it looks like the union really expressed some concerns over the way the Pirates and the Marlins ran their teams this offseason. Now, we know, you know, the Pirates gave up two big pieces in Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutcheon, and then, you know, the Marlins cleaned house, Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, Marcelo Ozuna. You know, I know some people forget that early on they dealt Dee Gordon as well. So, I'm not quite sure. What does the union get out of it? I mean, are they just looking for money out of these teams now if they were to win, or how does that kind of play out?
Well, I mean, there's no rule that says they have to spend it to begin with. And then I don't think they'd be looking for money. I think they'd be looking for them to sign somebody. But I mean,
you know, but
well, and not only that, but to prove that they actually have a plan in place to be using those funds. over the next 5 years, because you can't just, I mean, I get it, you could file a grievance, but, you know, I think part of it is no one knows what the hell the Marlins are doing.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Jeter has, you know, attempted to make some, you know, deal there, but, you know, who knows? I don't know what the heck they'll end up doing, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, at least the Pirates, you know, they have some top-tier prospects they can actually plug in. You know, I mean, you know, it looks like Austin Meadows will finally get a shot. I almost called him Austin Matthews. That's the hockey player. But, you know, Austin Meadows should get a shot at replacing McCutcheon. And, you know, the guys they acquired in the Cole trade, like, you know, Colin Moran and Joe Musgrove will, you know, will be big pieces, you know, on their team. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm not quite sure how it kind of shuffles out, but I guess we'll see. But yeah, you know, while we're on the baseball bandwagon, Dan, I don't know if you saw this one, but I thought it was kind of a cool thing for the Red Sox to do. They had a, you know, just a, you know, exhibition game. You know, we know these things are just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Today they were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. What I didn't realize is Mike Matheny actually has a son by the name of Tate, who's in the Red Sox minor league organization, but he's not in their big league camp. So the Red Sox allowed him to take the lineup card out today for the game. So he got to bring the lineup card out while his father was bringing out the lineup card for the Cardinals. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
You know, and then I saw the Cubs named John Lester as opening day starter. I'm sure you kind of expected that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, as I search around here, Dan, I found one of these fun articles that I know you and I love so much. The 10 most likely destinations for Chris Archer. All right. And now here we go. These are the top, what do they have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, top 6 land spots, Dan, for Archer. So put these teams in order for me. I'm just going to throw them at you, and then you rank them most likely to least likely. They have these teams as the 6 likely to get Archer: the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Braves, the Brewers, and the Dodgers. So out of that group, who's the most likely to be able to put a package together to land Chris Archer?
The Phillies or the Dodgers.
All right, so we scraped them off the board. Then the next landing spot, Dan, is St. Louis, Atlanta, or Milwaukee?
Oh, I would say Milwaukee.
All right, and then the last two are Atlanta and St. Louis. Who's got the better shot there? Play the Jeopardy music for you.
Oh, I said Atlanta.
Oh, okay. You didn't come through, so I was wondering there. All right, now, interestingly, they said it's 10 teams. But in this second category, they actually have 5 teams listed. So either somebody couldn't count or they were just trying to be cool. This is the category, Dan, that they say, so you're telling me there's a chance. So out of these 5, who's on top of your list here? The Nationals, the Giants, the Padres, the Rockies, or the White Sox? Who can piece it together enough to bring Archer in?
Say that again, the Rockies, White Sox. Padres.
The Nationals, the Giants, the Padres, the Rockies, and the White Sox are the 5 teams they have listed here.
I mean, I would go with the White Sox.
All right, so that leaves you Nationals, Giants, Padres, Rockies. You know, it's going to be a prospect deal. Who's heavily laden enough to give up those guys and try to plug Archer in and see if they can get a nice little run out of him because he is under contract for a few more years?
The Padres.
All right, so now you're down to the Giants, the Nationals, and the Rockies. Out of those three in this category, who fits in third, they may be able to land him.
Rockies.
Oh, boy. And then you're down to the Giants, who we all know you love, and the Nationals. Who pieces in there to possibly be Chris Archer's new home? And who's the team that is just out of the woodwork here?
I'm going with the Giants and the Nationals.
So actually, you know, it'd be pretty interesting to see Archer on the Nationals with the rotation of, you know, Scherzer, Strasburg, and then Archer 1-2-3. That could be pretty interesting. You know, just one of those fun things that we get to deal with. So, but yeah, I always think it's kind of humorous when, you know, we're trading guys and all this stuff. But you know, we have been wondering. I think you and I actually speculated. You know, would he go? Will we see Archer finally go? What goes on there? So I thought it was funny that somebody else had brought it up too. So let's see. I'm trying to think what else? Anything good happened in baseball today or last night, Dan, that I missed?
Ian Happ led off with a home run.
Oh, yeah, actually, that reminded me. Did you see apparently that the Cubs decided that he is their plan for the leadoff man right now heading into opening day? And what I'm guessing is that means he's going to be the everyday center fielder. So Albert Almora is going to be out of a job again. Is that how that's going to work out, or do you see it going differently?
No, I mean that. At least they finally made a decision that it's not Kyle Schwarber.
Because I was trying to explain this to Tom Schomburg, Stu. You know, Joe Madden's not going to take a bat away from Ben Zobrist, even though I think you and I probably believe he should. You can't take it bats away from Javi Baez, even though he strikes out a ton. There's just so much there. He needs the at-bats. So that leaves Almora as the odd man out again. But it also explains why the Cubs really didn't chase down a fourth outfielder in free agency like we thought they needed, because Almora is going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, at least they didn't waste the money on a guy like John Jay again.
Yeah, you know, like I know they signed Peter Borges, but that was, you know, a really low money minor league, you know, with the invite type of deal to spring training. So. Just one of those things. But here you go, Dana. A little interest in Jake Arrieta. Apparently, the Phillies, as the article quotes here, are interested in him, but they're only willing to go 3 years. Now, you know, you and I, you know, we've talked about this a million times. You know, he's looking for that $200 million contract, which would mean probably a 7-year commitment from a team. You know, he's been sitting out there a long time. He turned down a pretty good deal from the Cubs, you know, because he said he didn't have the proper amount of time to actually look at the contract. You know, is it time that he just settles for 3 years here and, you know, takes his money? I mean, you know, say it's 3 years at $70 million. Is that enough?
I would think so. I mean, it's enough for me, but I'm not a superstar.
You know, or I mean, at this point is, you know, maybe he just better off going, you know, give me the 1-year deal. I'll go out and prove it one more time. You know, and then I can turn around and go back on the market next year, and maybe I can get, you know, 5 years at 125.
Well, I mean, if you were smart, I think you would try to go for a 3-year with an opt-out after this year.
Yeah, because, you know, I've just been kind of wondering, yeah, you know, and that's not a bad idea. You take the 3 years with that opt-out, or, you know, even if they give him the opt-out after the second year, that's still not too bad. He'd be a younger guy. So, you know, but, yeah, I just, you know, I mean, sooner or later, doesn't him and Scott Boras have to kind of wake up that that 7-year deal isn't out there? And you've got to have a secondary plan, don't you?
Yeah, what was J.D. Martinez?
You know, because, yeah, I mean, it's kind of seem all in all like they have, you know, they have no backup plan. You know, it's just kind of like, well, here's what we want. If you don't give this to us, that's it.
Yeah, well, what was J.D. Martinez's contract?
What did it end up being? It ended up being 5 years at 110, I believe.
So, I mean, he was looking for 7-8 years. And what was it, 200? So he didn't get that.
Yeah, and remember, originally the Red Sox offered him more money. You know, the original offer they made to him was a 25. And, he didn't sign that. So he ended up taking, $15 million less. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe they like the fact that this contract was front loaded or something. I don't know. But, it just seemed like, you know, he cost himself some money. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you think? You think the Phillies work something out with Arrieta and we finally get him off the books and then we can only talk about Alex Cobb, who nobody has really expressed any interest in yet?
No, I wouldn't think he'd want to sign a deal with a team that's not going to contend.
Arrieta or Cobb?
Arrieta.
You don't think the Phillies are contenders? You don't think they're going to surprise everybody and hunt the Nationals down? I know we haven't made our picks yet, but this could be your sneak preview.
Yeah. Well, it's not about what I think. I mean, you have to get into the arrogant mind of Arrieta.
You know. Yeah, at this point, I don't get it. I don't know if it's, do you think it's worth it? Sitting out any longer? I mean, you know, does he have to wait for an injury if he really thinks he's going to get that big money long-term deal, or is that just off the books and you don't see that happening anywhere?
No, I mean, I don't see the long-term $200 million contract happening regardless. And, he's got to be safe if he sits out because, you know, all of his yoga and his interesting workouts will keep him fresh and prepared, right? Isn't that his gimmick?
Couldn't he start his own yoga studio, right?
He could do that, him and his wife.
Yeah. You know, if that could work out, we'll have to see. But, Dan, I know our – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to talk about somebody else. Go ahead.
I don't think you really heard me, but – it wasn't about me thinking the Phillies are contender or not, because I haven't really taken a look. But you've got to get into the arrogant mind of Arrieta, where, you know, this is the guy who came out prior to last season saying he wouldn't sign with the Cubs or he wouldn't give a hometown discount. And to know that he sat out this long, I just don't see him working out any kind of deal with the Phillies.
Well, no, I just wanted to know if you thought the Phillies were a contender so I could kind of get an idea on how you were going to put your things, your picks together. So.
Yeah, you're not tricking me on that one.
Well, yeah, you know, I figured I could, sneak one past you there while you weren't paying attention and, you know, get you to let out some information that you weren't ready to do. So. We'll have to see. But, we are, Dan. We're about about a month away from our drafts. You know, we'll be going at it And, you know, today I saw that the Blue Jays had to shut down Marcus Stroman because he has shoulder inflammation. And there's no timetable yet for if or when he'll come back. So were you was he somebody you were, I don't know, maybe looking at as the Blue Jays number one? And now that he's kind of dinged up here, does that drop him off your board or down your board? How do you kind of handle injuries with your rankings?
Did you say Marcus Stroman?
Yeah.
I was a little preoccupied for a second. Throwing arm shoulder injury definitely dropped him in my rankings. I mean, you know, that's an issue that's just going to continue to be irritated as the season goes on. You know, not to say that I'm right, but, you know, that was one of the reasons a couple years ago I stayed away from Anthony Rizzo, was because they were saying he had back issues, which, you know, no one's ever brought up again. And I think, I don't think, because they didn't really go too deep into it. I don't believe they were lumbar, because that would have been low. And, you know, those are harder to recover from. But he seemed to rectify that and kind of get back on a solid pace. But when it comes to a pitcher and your only job is to throw, you know, the shoulder issues, you wonder how quickly that leads to rotator cuff issues and things of that nature. So you definitely want to be a little leery of a guy with shoulder issues, starting pitcher especially.
Yeah, you know, it definitely, I think it's got to be some type of concern there. You know, especially, I mean, he was a guy they were kind of looking at being their number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's
well,
got
I mean,
to be a big.
For the Blue Jays, that has to be a big deal because they're going to be in a pretty damn competitive probably one of the better divisions in the league again this year, minus the Rays, even though, like you mentioned, it's been fun over the last few years, you know, be it Joe Maddon or the latest coach for them, you know, kind of keeping themselves in the picture. But once Chris Archer's gone, I think this will be the year where we're, you know, in mid-May, we're going, wait, there's a team in Tampa? Oh, yeah, I forgot about them. Well, I think, you know, mid-May, we're going to be going, oh, wait, Florida has baseball teams? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The state that's ruining baseball. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, boy, it's going to be a down year there, you know. And then while we're on pitcher injury, Dan, real quick here, another guy for you to add to your list. The Mets are saying that it's possible that Jacob DeGrom might not be healthy for opening day. He is having back stiffness as a pitcher. So they're not sure if he will be ready. He's a little bigger name than Stroman. How's that affect you here? I mean, it you know, it's not an arm, but like you said, obviously, you know, it's still the back, but you know, they don't seem to be reporting any disc problems or anything. They're just calling it back stiffness.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you get the NHL kind of injury report. You know, he's got back issues. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean back, low back, middle back, you know, the neck area? What are we talking? The shoulder blade issues? We don't really know. So, where are they at? They're in the East Coast, so they're down in Florida. You know, I might not take a whole lot into that. The humidity is definitely present down there more so than it is here right now, obviously. It's not killer, but that can be maybe a slight contributing factor to that. And, you know, maybe if the Mets sign Jake Arrieta, he can teach them his routine and Jacob DeGrom would just be back and ready to go.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess on the plus side now, it's making that Jason Vargas signing look a little better, mm-hmm. you know, because now they may need him to, you know, they may need him to fill out the the rotation. I mean, you know, they were another one of the teams talking about, well, you know, we're going to go six guys, blah, 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 you know, this kind of stuff. And at this point, I don't know if they're going to have five healthy guys.
Well, you know, and it's funny because 2015, we watched that pitching rotation and you're like, wow. And 2016, I think a lot of that pitching rotation was sought after when it came down to fantasy, obviously. And 2017, you know, I think you rolled the dice on Harvey, but
yeah,
you know, coming into this season, it's almost like, do I even want to go with a Mets pitcher? You know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, fantasy wise for us, you know, you definitely want your number ones and, you know, be that up there with guys like Clayton Kershaw and, you know, a handful of others, you know, Steven Strasburg, throwing those guys in the mix. But you're definitely going to be wanting a healthy – I know you can't predict injuries, but you're going to be looking at going, well, I want, you know, my Kershaw and this and that. And then maybe later I'll be looking at a Mets pitcher if they're still available.
Yeah, you know, it gets harder and harder to – you know, look past their injury history, because it just seems like this is a yearly thing for them now. And, you know, I mean, you just, and obviously you look at them and I mean, they're fantastically talented guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, they've already basically said that Steven Motz isn't going to be ready for opening day. So, you know, does that mean Zach Wheeler has to come back into the starting rotation, are they willing to go with, do they still have Robert Getzelman? I think maybe he could be possibly a guy hanging around for a rotation spot. You know, I know Seth Lugo ended up making some spots. They did sign A.J. Griffin. You know, he pitched for the Rangers last year. Maybe if he's healthy, he fills in. But yeah, you know, I mean, looking at it more and more, it's just like, you know, is the team just jinxed, or you know, how does it work out? I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, just looking at, you know, being close to home with the Cubs, and you look at their team and. If you're going into the fantasy season, you know, it's, and granted, this is not going to happen. There's no way in hell you or I, or, you know, any of the local guys are going to get Lester, you, Hendricks, and Quintana, which, you know, I still don't know if who's, you know, the three and four, Quintana, Hendricks, but, you know, if you're able, I'm looking at those four and going, I want one of those four before I'm even looking at a number one for the Mets. You know, because even if, you know, Noah Syndergaard is out there, I mean, like you said, the every year injury stuff, I know he's going to be a good quality pitcher, but I also kind of have the feeling that we may not have him for maybe 60 days. You know, and obviously you don't hope that on him. And, you know, for his sake, you hope it's the opposite where, you know, I don't draft him and then he, you know, goes out and throws 35 games just to screw with me, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of the phase I'm in right now, I guess you could say.
Yeah. You know, it's the kind of, you know, like it'll be the situation where somebody who probably doesn't, you know a lot about being in our league or just kind of, you know, flukily lands him, and then Syndergaard has a great year, where if you or I were to get him, he'd get hurt right away, and that would be it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just kind of karma like that. So, well, you know, we'll have to see. I don't know. You know, luckily we've still got about a month to go before we have to, you know, a little less than a month now, but, you know, we'll figure it out. So we shall see. But interestingly, as I flop sports here really quickly, I actually saw that today the NFL and Papa John's made a joint announcement that, and I'm sure you kind of maybe expected this or, you know, could have kind of guessed this down the road, Papa John's will no longer be the official pizza of the NFL. No real surprise, there. There was some issues last year when the CEO, who is John Shatner, I believe is how he decided to comment or pronounce it, started blaming the NFL for Papa John's down sales because of the way they were handling the national anthem protest. So, and he later apologized and actually stepped down as CEO on January 1st. Now he's still with the company as chairman, so nothing really, really changed. It was just a thing. And there was a bit of a conspiracy a la Dan that Jerry Jones, who actually owns stake in about 100 Papa John's locations, put Shatner up to this as part of his attack on Roger Goodell that we talked about yesterday. It was reported by Darren Rovell, who is a money guy. He works for the Mickey Mouse Network, that Papa John's sales did drop 3.9% from October to December prior to last year. Now, if you remember, Pizza Hut came out and said their sales went up. So it's kind of, it was kind of an interesting, hit or miss thing. While, Shatner and Papa John's were pointing fingers at the NFL, Pizza Hut was kind of like, what are you talking about? We're doing just fine. There's no issues here. That led even more and more to the Jerry Jones conspiracy. So you got to kind of wonder if or what was kind of involved there. But, yeah, they decided today for the mutual reasons, we won't see Papa John's as the official pizza of the NFL anymore. So I don't know if helps anybody or hurts anybody, but yeah, that's the route they're going.
Well, I'll tell you what I found kind of interesting is, you said you never had, I think you said you never tried or had Papa John's before. And
yeah.
I've never
had it.
You're in luck because, you were supposed to come over for the Super Bowl, which unfortunately you got sick. And I was going to get you a little Papa John's pizza just for you, because honestly, I don't like it. I would have had it cause it's there, but I never liked it. And shortly thereafter the Super Bowl, Papa John's is closed by my house now. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a couple of people in my community who we're actually trying to get Little Caesars to come in. We're hoping to get a Little Caesars. So.
Yeah, there's, just like for me, there's no Papa John, locally by me that I've seen or driven by. I mean, maybe there's one somewhere that I just haven't noticed, but there's all kinds of other places. I just haven't came across a Papa John's. And to be honest with you, now I saw that they're building a Giordano's down the street, so everybody else just kind of lost out.
Ooh.
No matter who they are.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's, now that we've turned the sports talk show into a pizza network.
Into pizza talk.
Yes. Which I'm sure you and I could do a podcast on it every day on just pizza alone. I won't eat Pizza Hut. I haven't really had it since my Book It days. And I don't know if they still do that, but back when I was a little kid and you went to school, you read a book and you got a free little personal pan pizza, which was awesome. But as an adult, I took my nephew there about 4 years ago and I made him take all the leftovers home, and it was actually one of those where I went and ate it and I only had a piece and a half, where I could devour a frozen pizza myself, and You know, the Pizza Hut, I was just like, no, I'm okay. You could take it all home. You and your brother can eat on it for 3 days if you want. I don't care. Not a fan of it. I haven't had Domino's in years. Couldn't tell you last time I had Domino's. But that was another one where I remember when you were a kid, or when I was a kid, I don't know, they still do it. But you used to be able to go there and roll your own dough. You know, as a kid, you could do that and you get the little Noid. So, you know, I was all about the gimmicks as a kid, so I wanted the little Noid. And, you know, but as an adult, and I'm sure, you know, just like you said, Giordano's is opening up by you, so forget everybody else. But we enjoy the Chicago, you know, the Chicago chains, you know, Giordano's, Beggars, Luminati's, a couple other. But then, you know, a lot of the local places we eat from, we don't eat the national chains. So fortunately for Papa John's, it would just, I don't care if, you know, the Cubs hit three grand slams in one day and you're giving us six pizzas for free. I still would have just paid to go to Beggars.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of along the lines of you. I can't remember the last time I had, you know, Pizza Hut or Domino's. They did over Christmas buy us Little Caesars at work because, you know, when you work for a company that makes billions of dollars, that's how they spend it. They buy you the cheap $5 pizza. So, you know, over Christmas time, I did have Little Caesars, and I got to say, it's a fantastic improvement on what it used to be when I was growing up and they first kind of came out. It was many, many, many times better, you know, so that, but yeah, it's not something, I don't think I would go out of my way to buy it. You know, there's one not too far from where I live, but I've never been there. The only places, there's a couple, you know, local, you know, not non-national chains in the area here that I've gotten pizza from. So yeah, I just kind of go that route. And then, you know, for years I didn't need to buy pizza because I delivered for Rosati's for about 3 years. So, mm-hmm. You know, if I wanted pizza, I had Rosati's pizza, which isn't too bad.
Well, I think the downside with Little Caesars is they don't deliver. A lot of times when you think of pizza, you're like, I don't want to show up and wait for you to make a pizza that's supposed to be ready already, like your commercial says. I want it, you know, normally delivered to my house.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the, you know, one of the things with pizza is the fact that, you know, you don't want to leave. You know, you want to stay home and just have it brought to you, and you know, make your life a lot easier. So yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, hey, you know, I need to grab something on the way home for the kids or something. Okay, well, I'll grab this. Well, I think they're $8 now. I don't think they're $5 anymore. But, you know, even still, that's not a bad deal for a, you know, a decent-sized pizza. So, you know, it's more one of those things than anything else.
No, Little Caesar's still $5. If you get the extra.
Oh, is it? I thought I saw the commercial day that they were the other day that they were $8 or something, but maybe it was something else they were advertising. I can't keep of all the damn commercials I've seen. It's just too much. Blows my mind.
Yeah, but it is interesting though that you mentioned, you know, the NFL is no longer going to have Papa John's. You know, and one of the things that I think that's what made Papa John's so popular. Was the fact that they were pretty synonymous with sports. I mean, there's they run a promotion, and that's kind of where I'm getting to. They run a promotion where, you know, Grand Slams get you a free pizza in your local town. You know, not any Grand Slam, of course. I think that's what it was. But, you know, they had the Big Papa Slam, and if your team hit it, you were supposed to get a free pizza. So I wonder, you know, how his comments for the NFL, if that's going to affect their relationship with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you know, it didn't say anything in the article about baseball, but yeah, I remember seeing, you know, all the time on the MLB Network, you know, hey, there's a chance for a Papa Slam, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I would, maybe they'll still do that. I don't think they've had any issues with, you know, with the, you know, with baseball, like they kind of did with football this year. You know, I think the only baseball player who did any kneeling during the national anthem was that Bruce Maxwell with the A's, and he's already said he won't do it this year. So.
Well, I think he's smart. He.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, again, you know, he made a statement. Why, you know, why does he have to continue to make a statement? So.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, and I get the point of it, but at the end of the day, the kneeling and all that does nothing more than what an election does in this country, and that's divide everybody instead of bringing us all together. So I think it does more damage to the country as a whole.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, you kind of, you know, I mean, looking back at it, you know, you got to kind of wonder, you know, even what Kaepernick thinks of it, because, you know, like you and I have mentioned about it before, we're so far away from what he was originally talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it got to the point where I don't think anybody really understood players were kneeling for, except for the fact that they were kneeling. So,
it almost basically turned into a race issue or a class issue, more so than anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess you can't really question his beliefs or whatever, but I mean, it was ultra convenient, the timing of his protest.
Yeah, you know, it ended up, you know, and oddly you wonder, you know, I mean, you have to ask it, would he have protested had he continued to stay the starter for the 49ers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or would he have, you know, maybe found another way? You know, and I know his girlfriend didn't do him any favors with the goofy tweets she sent. You know, that didn't help the situation anymore. She just, in reality, kind of made it worse. So, you know, one of those.
I forgot my point. Well, I know what I was going to say. When it comes to his collusion case, I mean, you've got to imagine that comes into it. You know, if I'm an individual owner being subpoenaed for it, it's not, you know, it's not about his protest or his issue, you know, his political issues. No, that's not why I wouldn't hire him. Number one, I don't want a backup quarterback that's going to be garnering so much attention, you know, negative attention to begin with. And number two, you know, if what's he going to do if he doesn't like our system or the way we do things? You know what I mean? So what's he going to do when he doesn't get his way on my team?
Yeah, you know what I mean? In reality, you know, the sad part for him is, you know, I understood what he was trying to bring light to, and, you know, it made sense. There was a very big issue at the time, sadly, with, you know, police officers shooting African-American individuals for what seemed like no reason. And he wanted to bring some light to that. But, you know, when all these other guys kind of started jumping in, the cause went away and it became more about, you know, respecting or not, or disrespecting the national anthem, you know, what side you kind of fell on. So, yeah, I mean, if, you know, I would love to hear his honest answer about, you know, what he kind of thinks now, because, you know, it really went away from what he was trying to accomplish.
Well,
whether he's willing to admit it or not.
Well, and And I think it took off even more so because it was just more of a lingering Donald Trump effect. Oh, well, all the people that are kneeling, well, we don't like that Donald Trump was elected president. So instead of acting like adults, we're going to protest it, even though, you know, obviously, I don't know what you did, but the majority of the electoral votes went to the Trump for president. So, you know, that there's your protest. Actually go out there and vote. Make, you know, get with your party or whatever you're doing. But you didn't do it, and Hillary lost. And, you know, I don't think we would have had the same issue had Hillary won, and, you know, the Republican side of the country wouldn't have acted the same way. But then again, this new day and age, a lot of things surprise me the way people act altogether, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a strange one, you know, when it comes to people's reactions about certain things. So, you know.
You know, even like, and to totally switch subjects so we can jump off this political stuff and not, you know, dive too deep or jump a shark or anything. But, you know, even like we were talking yesterday with Jimmy Butler, you know, immediately my wife's 23-year-old nephew immediately brings Thibodeau in his system. And I just died laughing because I'm like, you just moved to Chicago. You literally just moved to Chicago this winter. So you didn't sit and listen to the trash talking by Chicago media for 2 years straight, just running Thibodeau into the mud. And it's, you know, I mean, basketball is different than football, than baseball, than the pro wrestling. And I would have loved to have been on the stage working every day. But when you look at these guys, you know, pro wrestlers are out there every single day. They're working hard every day. They're pushing their body to the limit every day. Some of them don't have an injury for 4 years, 5 years. This is every day. You know, what they only get off, what, 2 days, 2 days a week all year long? So you're telling me that Tibbs' system is the cause of injuries? I can't buy that. And, you know, I just flat out, you know, it's like it's because you're weak. And when it comes to Jimmy Butler, I'm not saying he's weak. That was just a freak accident. It could happen. But you can't tell me he tore a meniscal part of the knee because Tom Thibodeau plays you too many minutes and practices you too hard. That's a load of crap.
Yeah, and, you know, and especially the way he did it, you can't look at that injury and say that's why it happened. You know?
No.
So, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, great, nice try.
You know, I mean, Taj Gibson's been playing pretty well. He's been pretty healthy over the last few years. He runs
right.
The same system.
Yeah, no. All right, look at that. It means that it's time for Dan and I to end the political portion of Sports Time Radio. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be back on the sports track. But you know the deal while we're gone. Go over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog going up tomorrow morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. But don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. If you want to hunt us down, we don't mind. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at tunein.com.
The Chicago piece is always going to be the best. SportsTimeRadio.com.